Now the send and a long hold. Clock down to 2-1. The pitch swung on. Hit deep to left field. Verdugo going back. It's over his head and off the base of the wall in play. Heading for third is Tina. He'll hold there. And into second is Dylan Cruz with a double and his first hit in the major leagues. Throw comes in to the second baseman, Gleyber Torres, immediately sending it over to first base coach Gerardo Parra. We'll flip it onto the bat board to take it into the dugout, and a standing ovation for Dylan Cruz, his first hit in the big leagues, a double off the base of the left field wall here at Nationals Park.
Wow, what a great moment. Excelente, boy. I tell you what, the Curly W's didn't, I don't know about you, but that young man showed you right there. He didn't show any signs of pressure, and that was an awesome way to get it done against the Bombers. And I don't care who you are, it does matter when you're playing a name brand organization like the New York Yankees.
I told you he's going to get his first hit. We knew it was going to happen this weekend. I'm glad it did. Glad it was a double. I mean, I'm almost a little upset because it was like 4 feet away from being a homer. You know, it got stuck right where the wall meets the warning track, just kind of like stuck right in that little intersection. You know, if he hit that just a tad bit harder, maybe a tad bit to a right or left, that's over the wall, that's gone. Getting your first homer off of Gerrit Cole, one of the best in the business, not a bad way to do it.
Well, victory is what it's all about. You can't plan it all, but sure as Dickens was hopeful that you get a victory with it and a good outcome. And this young man has a lot of talent. It's one thing to be advertised; it's another thing to pull it off and to get it done. So I'm definitely prejudiced in that I knew we'd be doing our thing today, and I certainly wanted it to be working our favor. And I'm not mad at all. Not at all. What's the other thing that had you going that got your blood boiling a little bit?
I mean, I was watching a little bit of that. Yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting for college football. It's a busy couple of days coming up. So Tuesdays are my easy day. There's not a lot going on. Maybe a couple WNBA games, but I wasn't locked into those.
Yeah, the roster cutdowns, it is amazing. So much that happened, so much emotion tied into it. I'm not shocked. I was a little bit confused as to what the uproar was with. What did you want to do? Bring your entire group back that failed miserably? No, you didn't. You want new blood, and you want to trust in the leadership. I trust the leadership. Whatever they say goes. I know they have a plan with it. The one good thing the league did was allowing you to put veterans on practice squads and being able to, you know, fortify that unit. So a lot of guys, and if guys are nicked, and guys are nicked, a lot of these things have to do with injuries and, you know, good opportunities. And the bottom line to it is that protection. I was pleased. And again, my main emphasis was up front. And I'm a little concerned that the prize bull is still coming off Brandon Coleman being nicked up a little bit. You got time, just 2 weeks. This is the largest gap that I can recall between the end of the preseason and the start of the season. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember it being a gap like this.
That's what you get when you cut the preseason down from 4 to 3, though. You know, when you take out that extra week, you get an extra week of rest and preparation, which I would say is for the better if you're focused on week one. You don't need 4 preseason games. It's just not something that's wholly necessary, but I'll take an extra week of rest for the guys that might be a little nicked up or need a little bit of that rest from training camp. It also gives you 2 weeks to fully install some new stuff that you hadn't been practicing during the offseason, during training camp, right? Like some of these specialties, because we hear all the time, you're not seeing anything in the preseason. It's all basic. Well, now you get 2 weeks to install like a legit game plan into week one And then hopefully you come out with your ass on fire. Now, we've had 4 years of Ron Rivera where there was no asses on fire in week one. But hopefully with these guys and this new coaching staff, you get 2 weeks to prepare and then really come out hot against Tampa.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to mix it up today and get, you know, reaction. Northwest Stadium, I still think that's a huge plus. Great sign to get people to invest in you, you know, while you're going to, you know, while you're building. What better sign is it to have a major company invest in you, you know, in this and believe in you? I think that is absolutely awesome.
You need the money, that's for sure.
And of course, the Dallas Cowboys. And I tell you what, man, I am so happy that we get more Jera, CD getting paid, Dak in the most powerful position. And I don't know, I wanted to lean on your expertise. I don't know of a player that has had a better leverage position. We saw Kirk spin circles around our group here and propel himself into financial security. But man, Dak, if he's a cold-blooded dude, he and his agent, they are really able to walk the dog right now. Those of you that yo-yoed back in the 60s, you know what I'm talking about. This, to me, is, despite the wide receivers that are threatening not to play and the defensive ends, this is the most compelling story to me in football, is when a quarterback who is not a Super Bowl champion has had this kind of grip or leverage on the wealthiest franchise in sports. And this is going to be the ultimate stare down. I don't know where you are on this, but I'm telling you what, this thing is really heating up now to see who blinks.
Do you think he has this kind of leverage? I don't know that he has this kind of leverage.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Let's jump to a break here. Coach Sheehan out, DOC, and Double D in with you here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. And got a big one for you today. Give you a lot of information, couple boots, couple experts going to pop in. Boots and Skeletos on the ground. So hang in there with us right here. We'll be right back. Big cut down day all over the National Football League. And I don't know if there were any shockers. I think shockers are the things that would have caught me a little bit off guard. I didn't expect shockers. I thought a team that performed the way this team did last year, I was expecting movement, and I was just interested in what this new management team, their vision, because they know that this is just the beginning of it. I think we said yesterday there might be 10 new guys between yesterday and opening day. It could very easily happen as they start to scan the rest of the people that were let go throughout the NFL. Anyway, you can kind of upgrade. Again, my main focus, obviously, was looking at that O-line and seeing who we kept. And the main thing is that with Coleman not being able to go full tilt, that is a concern and something that you have to monitor. It appears that he could be better back and ready for the opener, but you lose a lot of work because if you have a shoulder injury, it's not like you can go out there and go full tilt against your guys because you want it to heal. And that's where you're caught, because what do? You got to let it heal so you can go full strength when you get towards a regular season. And I think if I had one concern is that I was hoping for maybe a little bit more development from Trent Scott with this new staff, new scheme, and maybe so as they implement their program, you know, the new game plan, maybe, just maybe, it will help him. It'll help a lot of them. Because how you run your offense can really help an O-line. You know how quickly this young man gets rid of the ball. I mean, five is like, you know, he is quick. He does not hold on. He's a complete antithesis, the last guy we had back there who was sticky fingers. He had, you know, glue on his palms. So that could help us out a great deal. And that's what it's all about. And we're talking about seconds, man. And the game is that game of seconds. You kind of make a difference. They teased the defensive line and made it, you know, kind of threw it out there that it might be a little bit more change than it was in that. I wonder if you were surprised how that came out.
I was surprised that KJ Henry got cut. I told you yesterday I thought he was going to be a for sure guy on the roster. I thought he had a good offseason, good camp, had that big sack in the final preseason game. I was stunned when I saw the notification from Ben Standing that he had gotten cut. I couldn't believe that one.
Yeah, I like him. He was a young man that I dug his demeanor, but I think at that position, it's the type of athlete, if you look at who they kept, Davis, Batiste, quick twitch. And that would be my, without having spoken to anybody, that would be the first thing would come to mind to me. You know, that would be what I would think. You know, but I'm not certain. He was a kid who played hard. You know, yeah, he played hard, and he was. I just dug his football. I football demeanor. Some guys are just ornery by nature, and I like those kind of guys. You know, Dexter Manley and Charles Mann and World Grand and Tony. Those guys I played. They had nasty football disposition. Great gentlemen off the field, but they had a nasty football disposition, and I like that. And that's what that young man had. And I believe he'll be in this league. I believe he'll be able to play, and he can horn his game into it. But when you're talking about coming off that edge now, I do think that quick twitch athlete, you're going to see a little bit more of that.
I just hope they keep him around in some capacity.
Farrell, Armstrong, Jean-Baptiste, and then Jamin. Jamin Davis has a shot to write a story and be one of those guys that we highlight because he's getting a chance. Now, first of all, void of ego. You got to swallow your ego. And then you got to say to yourself, this guy has what I'm saying, quick twitch. He's got it. So if between him and anybody else, he's going to get that nod. Because in this game, look at the guys that we now covet and we say, wow, those guys all, I mean, they come, they bring it. Look at the best. And that's what makes the freaks and freaking Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Niners, they're big and quick twitch and ferocious. And that position right now, man, you know, and we definitely need it. So we got a lot of, we were expecting a lot out of Farrell and Armstrong and those two guys. One guy get nicked. We saw what happened last year. We get a guy nicked and our production, our pressure drops off considerably. And what I think they're trying to combat that with now is just having more guys that can help you with pressure so that you don't have to send the kitchen sink, although they don't mind blitzing. I think a lot of us here in the past, our frustration was that I don't think we felt like we sent enough people after the quarterback. I don't know where you stand, DD, but I just believe that even the last preseason game, and I want to slap myself every time I make a reference to preseason, realizing that preseason is so fake in what people are going way out of their way not to show you anything, but yet we're trying to evaluate talent. So you're just caught up, the young kids. You're trying to put your best foot forward, yet we're trying to stay vanilla. And we're not trying to show a lot. But wait a minute. But we're praising people for doing well. Then we come back and say, well, he should have done it because it was really just a basic front. Well, that's all you showed him. So that's what he showed you. He showed you that he could do well against that. And that we still don't know what it's going to be when we throw everything at him. It's so confusing if you listen to it. And that's why I'm glad the GOAT is now talking, Bill Belichick. Because most people will believe what he says. And when he tells you that you don't gain a heck of a lot out of any of this, relax. The tests come in September, first 3 weeks. Then I think he'll help us so we don't jump out of window sills. It does show me something. If you can say it with a straight face that you didn't gain some confidence about Drake May, had you not been confident in him, then I'll say you're a liar. There's no way. And I don't care if they were in straight and they had blindfolds on. It was still playing football. And though you can't fake those instincts, his runs, he looked comfortable. He didn't panic. And our guy, the last time he played, he looked just as good in that respect. No matter what the front is or was, how you try to make it seem like it was no big thing, if you're a rookie and you're in there, your heart is busting out of your chest cavity. It is a big thing. And I thought Drake handled himself well. I really did. He ran. He didn't look flustered. And they tried to build a guy up to eat the mayonnaise down in Tennessee last year. I never bought into that. I didn't see it. I didn't see the result. Maybe you did, DD. I didn't.
Do you see it? Do you see it more with Drake May than you do?
From what I saw. Now, if they start Drake May in New England and he goes out and throws two or three picks, then I guess they were right.
What do you think they're going to start him, though? Or do you think it's going to be Jacoby?
I think it's going to be Jacoby if Jacoby's not injured.
Because my guess is just based on the way that, I mean, Jerod Mayo, who's very new here, right? He has said a lot of things. It feels like Jacoby is still going to be the starter. I mean, I think he called Drake May the second best quarterback on the roster like 2 days ago. And I was like, buddy, he just played a pretty good preseason game. So it looks like they're going to go with Jacoby initially. But we know it's going to end up being Drake May at best or at worst, depending on your perspective, by like week six. Because there's nothing to play for there.
Okay, but based on what I just said, do you agree or disagree? I thought the kid won my favor. I don't care if we were in vanilla. I don't care if we were playing guys that worked at the grocery store. He still was under some pressure in a real game and didn't panic, reacted like an athlete, made good throws, and had great instinct.
I didn't feel differently one way or the other about him. Based on where I felt beforehand, I thought he looked fine, but it didn't sway me one way or another. He's still a rookie.
Okay, but did you consider him to be overrated before that?
Overrated in what sense? I thought he was worthy of being the number three overall pick. I didn't think he was going to be the starter though, week one, and I still don't think he's going to be the starter week one.
And I can live with that. I really can, because I think that Jacoby is better than a lot of guys that are in this league and going, but he's playing a role. We know that. I think we saw that firsthand here last year. You'll never convince me that deal was above board, but nevertheless, it's going to be interesting, and we just got to get through it. If you think the summer's tough to endure, September's better because it counts. And there's no excuses. And they'll be playing all the certain relative packages. But it has an odor, too. I mean, it's not really till middle of October before we settle into this thing and really start hitting grooves. The question is, what will our record be when we get to that? And that's why September is so important. I mean, I'm really target guy, Tampa, Tampa, Tampa. But you got to look at September. And what is your gut? And how would you even base this? How do you answer this question? DD, you're a man that plays the odds. What do you see our September? Where are you putting your money at on our September record?
Well, I'm smart enough to where I don't gamble on my own team because I get heartbreak and financial losses.
Okay,
with that
so
said,
no fantasy. You are such a disciplined lad right now. No fantasy. I don't play on my team. Boy, you are.
That's just smart gambling.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're not supposed to be. So you're
a part-time degenerate. You're not a full-time degenerate.
No, you can be a degenerate and successful.
Okay.
Those two things can go hand in hand.
That is very true. And you work with one every day. You're right. You're right.
But, I mean, the first couple, we know this, the first couple of weeks of the season, really the first few weeks of the season, are going to be difficult. They didn't exactly get the great end of the stick when you consider you have a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle. When you look at some of the defenses and guys that are coaching these defenses that they're going to be going up against. So it's not going to be an easy stretch by any sense of the imagination. But I do think there are winnable games. Like Tampa to me is a winnable game. There's some other games that are going to be tough to pull out the rabbit out of the hat. But Tampa's a winnable game. We just still haven't seen anything yet. Because we know that like what they were doing on defense particularly, because defense is the biggest question mark for me on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident about what I think Jaden Daniels is going to be. And I haven't really wavered off of that. But defense, we didn't get to see any of the big guns on the defense play. We saw no Allen, no Payne, no Bobby Wagner. Those are the three arguably most intriguing and important guys on the defense. We saw none of them. So I'm thinking that there's going to be some differences to what their scheme is looking like come week one than the base stuff that we saw through 3 weeks of the preseason and some of the joint practices.
Yeah, I'd give you that. But if I could have gone without seeing those three guys, those are the three guys I could have gone without seeing, and I would have had no problem with that.
No, it's perfectly fine that we didn't see them.
Yeah.
It's just something that needs to be taken into consideration when we're trying to picture, like, what is this defense actually going to look like? I feel like with those three guys in it, you can get way more creative because you're placing a lot of the responsibility on those three. And I feel comfortable with those three in particular having a lot of responsibility. Like, last year, it felt like you were divvying up responsibility to guys that were not – their shoulders weren't big enough to carry the load. Guys like Jamin to an extent – when he had the green dot, guys like Forbes on the outside, like they weren't ready for those positions where now you have a guy like Bobby Wagner and guys like Allen and Payne that are ready to do some creative dynamic things and carry the weight of leading a defense.
Yeah, well, you can't blame the kids. You blame the people in charge were, you know, I mean, that was just incompetence double down. And that's why they earned their ranking. They weren't given, they earned it. No, I think that we'll be much better off in that respect. My question over the summer will be, because allegedly you have cap space and there was no aggressive pursuit of a corner, even one that played for you last year in Dallas, who seemed like he was available. And it appeared off the surface that the money wasn't out of reach. So that would be the one question I would have. If I were at the press conference, that might have been a question asked.
Well, if only they had a defensive back that both of the head coach and defensive coordinator had coached before, who at one point not that long ago was defensive player of the year that now resides in Minnesota. If only he was just kind of wandering around there in the wilderness for the first couple of weeks of the preseason and the entire offseason.
So you think like I think. So didn't that kind of make you go, I wonder what happened. He must have urinated on somebody's toes. Because I haven't heard that be a statement yet. I haven't even heard it been asked yet. I might have missed that press conference.
If you missed it, I missed it too. Because I have heard nothing of the sort, and that has been my biggest question mark.
Yeah, you got a glaring issue, apparently. And it was not killer cash and nothing. Okay. So that would tell me that you're good. You've got a plan, and I trust you, so I'm going to let you play it out. That's exactly what I would think. But I'm glad when you and I hit the same page on that one. That's good. That is good. Is there another area on the team? How about your boy Kaz?
I think he was the last cut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, but I feel like he was the last cut because nobody said that he got cut until we got the final 53, which leads me to believe that nobody knew until the very end. I'll tell you what, man, I look at those wide receivers. Eek. Not a great group. You got Terry. Love Terry. Optimistic about Diami. Optimistic about OZ and Luke McCaffrey, but not a lot of proven success outside of 17 on the wide receiver group. I'm hoping they address that position in some way, shape, or form over the next couple days on the waiver wire because it needs help. It desperately needs some help. If you're just keeping Byron Pringle and Jameson Crowder because, well, they're the best returners, that's great, but you're also going to need somebody to play offense. And not that those two guys can't play offense, but there have to be better options at this point who are younger, healthier guys, taller guys. I mean, really, the height is kind of what bothers me, but like there needs to be other options somewhere around the NFL to say, all right, we can plug this guy in. Because right now you have two wide receivers on this roster that are listed at 5'8 and 5'9 in OZ and Jameson Crowder. That's too short in the NFL. You can have one guy, but you can't have two.
I played with the Smurfs. We won championship with the Smurfs. So I don't – that size thing, I hear it. I hear everybody talking about it. I go, okay, prove it. Because is it the size or the player? I mean, I've seen a whole bunch of tall people not do very much. So I hear people saying this. I go, okay. Tyreek don't seem that tall to me. Maybe I'm just missing it.
Yeah, but he has a speed that those two guys don't have.
Well, okay, but again, everybody keeps talking about size and tall. I go, NFL, I'm going, oh, all right. You might be right. I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of receivers.
Well, you can offset the lack of the height if you are elite at one thing. Like Tyreek is an elite runner. There's not a lot of people in the world that can run the way that he can. And with guys like Jameson, Jameson's a good wide receiver, but he's also played 10 years in the NFL. Like what kind of contributing are you going to expect him to do on offense? If he's a good punt returner, that's great. But what kind of contributing are you going to expect from him on the offensive side? And if the answer is minimal, then you have to go out there and find somebody who's going to be around that can contribute.
I get it. Deami Brown, I think he was, when we started camp, he was a question mark. I think he said, how you like me now? I think he competed. Stepped up his game.
I will say he plays bigger than his height.
Exactly.
If we're just talking about the height, like he looks and plays bigger than 6 feet tall.
Yeah, because the reason why I try not to be hung up on dimensions is because I keep hearing about size, and I see nobody better than Aaron Donald. And he was not a stature monster. But I never saw nobody better than him. And so I see a whole bunch of big people that or just average. And so I started saying, you know what? I'm going to just judge all my people by results and throw all that other crap out. How tall, how long. Now, what are your results? And so until somebody gives me more results than Aaron Donald, I'm going to just judge you by, do you get the job done? And if you happen to be 6'2 or 5'9, I'm taking you. Let's go. Because I just remember the Smurf. I'm Gary Clark. We had one guy with size, Art. Everybody else was, quote, undersized. But if you give the quarterback enough time and you got a stud throwing, they'll get open and make plays. And I look at the Chiefs. There's one guy. The tight end's the guy. It'd be different if we had, like, 6'5", 6'4", receivers with the best team in the league doing it. I don't really see that. Even in Buffalo, my boy Turp wasn't not a giant. But again, I'm here available to be proven wrong. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And, you know, you play the odds as well as anybody in the country, so you may win this. And I hope you do. But I want to see, like Kansas City, they went back to something that they are comfortable with. And Juju Smith-Schuster, this dude is a survivor. Where do you rank him? How do you rank him?
I don't get far enough down in the rankings to rank Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, he's not bigger, stronger, faster, but he, you know what he does? He's always there. He's like a roach. You can't kill him. He's always there. Good points. That's what's the beauty, man, of this. We shall see what happens. I think that Emmanuel Forbes, I cannot wait to see what how he fits in, how they game plan him, and what kind of production we get out of him. Because, you know, SEC, we hear all this SEC. Okay, well then prove it. Are we going to see that in September? I'm asking Denton Day right now. I keep hearing so much about the SEC covering and what you go up against, the gauntlet or whatever like that. And they beat him up like a punching bag. So what are we going to see? Is the SEC going to reveal some success when it comes to this young man playing corner, who for all practical purposes seemed lost far more than found?
If we're talking Forbes, I hope the answer is yes. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not putting my eggs in that basket until I see some inkling of success.
Okay. Now, what I like about the brother is that, and most good corners are like this, man, you can't sway his confidence. I'm going to believe in him because he continues to believe in himself. And I have not met a corner yet that doesn't live by that. That's why I love them. They my favorite position, favorite people. Because they realize that sometimes they're going to be left out there on that island. And they either built for it or not. No excuses. You give them a little bit more pressure, you might get a little bit better results. But they don't count on it. They got to know it's just him and the dude they're dealing with. And so that's the fun thing about it. But hopefully our scheme, we'll be better at scheming. I got a feeling we're going to be better at damn near everything, which brings me some thrill. Were you surprised to see Mathis and Ridgeway?
Yeah, but only because they said they tried to trade Ridgeway.
Right.
Which I found it a little odd that they tried to trade him and then nobody traded for him. They're like, I guess we'll just keep him.
They were speaking to somebody. That was a little cat and mouse game between somebody. And it didn't bite. I thought both guys, I like them both. They're both very competitive. But I will say the fact that Newton, who does not appear to be ready to go, I think that was the factor. And that they're going to be playing, they're going to be short at that spot for a minute. That's how I saw it. But we also may have given up somebody that they thought. And then getting the practice squad. You know, yesterday was just the tip of the iceberg. I find today and tomorrow equally is interesting as to see, you know, what happens. Who returned these squads. The way they've changed these things now, I think they've done it for the better. I do think that they've done that. So you feel like putting some trends on things that we're doing? I think you've got some big things today. It's Denton Day.
Major League Baseball, Nats got a big win over the Yankees by a score of 4-2. Patrick Corbin gets the win. Patrick Corbin out-dueling Gerrit Cole in August. What a world we live in. He pitched 6 innings, allowed 2 hits. No earned runs for Patrick Corbin. He struck out 6. As far as Gerrit Cole went, he pitched only 5 innings. He struck out 7, but he allowed 3 runs on 6 hits. One of those hits was the first hit of his career in the big leagues by one Dylan Cruz. It was a double. Should have been a homer. Just a couple feet away from being a homer, but big time hit from Dylan Cruz. He was 2 of 4 at the plate. He did score a run as well. They finished this series off. The Nats and the Yankees do today at Nats Park at 6:45. In the NFL, it's being reported by Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Dalvin Cook signing with the Dallas Cowboys. So they have Zeke in the backfield. They have Dalvin Cook in the backfield. This backfield will be great if it was 2018. And that's what's trending.
Devin Sheehan Show, Team 980, DOC, DHing, Denton Day, doing what Denton Day does, and that is operate at a real high level. It is the time of the year, hey man, we're going through a change for all of us that have been following the NFL, whether it's the last 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years. And you know what? Then there'll be changes next year and the year after that. We can't stay stuck in saying, hey, this is the way it is and was. No, this is the way it evolves. I am excited. And sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves that not every area has a pro football team. We went through it with baseball. When I got here, you know, not having a baseball team, hockey team threatening to leave at the time, 1980, Al Kokin, my dear friend, saved the Caps. So I try to never take it for granted. No matter how bad the situation is with our team, we have a team. I also learned something very interesting that I'm going to share with you after we go to some sound that Denton has set up for us to hear about what yesterday was all about. And we're going to talk about what it means. And I'm going to share with you what I think is important that we understand that we ought to be appreciative of as the fan base and lock in and support what we have and be glad we have something. Denton?
Whenever you guys give me the word, I'll get rocking.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. I think a lot of you probably have viewed our initial 53 and actually even think of it as deeper than that as a 70-man roster, and so there's a lot of work to get to that tomorrow. And so Adam and I, we look forward to meeting you with that tomorrow. So I'll be glad to get started with some questions. And so, Charlie, if you want to moderate it and get rolling from here, can get going.
Yeah, we'll go Ben first.
Oh, hey Dan, just curious, the decisions that edge rusher releasing KJ Henry but keeping Jamin Davis and Jean Baptiste.
Yeah, for sure, Ben. I think honestly, when you're going into, you know, new programs, you're really looking at, you know, some things that will change, and you know, scheme fits and what you're looking for. Sometimes when you're, you know, going into something new, you're looking for different scheme, different fits. But I think by and large, we've really been pleased with what we've seen from Jamin, and that certainly was part of the factor.
All right, let's go Kaim.
Hey, Dan, thanks for doing this today. One of the 2023 draft class, five of the seven guys were cut today, and it kind of goes to what you were just saying. What's the challenge for you when you come in, you have a class of draft picks, but you got your new guys too? How do you weigh all that into consideration? Is it just scheme fit? Is it just kind of sometimes you just move on from the past a little bit?
Yeah, I think once I took the job, they're my guys too. And so we're always going to make what we think is the best decision for the team, John. That's our obligation. So no ours or theirs or any of that kind of good stuff. Like once I was here, man, I connected with lots of players here. And so, yeah. No looking at it at anything other than just, you know, what do we need to do best for the team? And really, that's where it starts and ends.
Nikki?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for doing this. You know, knowing that some of these players on this initial 53-man roster could be off in as little as 36 hours when you guys start to, you know, if you guys do make any waiver claims or whatnot, how do you frame it to these guys when you're meeting with them and letting them know that they did make it, but maybe just for now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nikki. That on a day like today, I think we made 38 transactions, but we met with the players that we had to do the transactions with, not the ones that we did not. And so as that goes, they do know, and I have told them that, you know, the first, you know, part of the roster and likely into the first part of the season, it is fluid and it's not final and set in that space. And so that's the conversation, you know, as a big picture wise, Nikki, that I said yesterday, but we don't meet with each player to say that they made it. That will be reiterated again tomorrow, adding, you know, to get to that 70-man roster. And so as we meet tomorrow, you know, we'll talk about practice squad and waiver claims and that. But it's a fair question, but I'd say in the front end, we say, you know, it's not set here that we're starting this initial 53. So that's the marker, I guess, that we say at the beginning.
Sam?
Dan, why keep three quarterbacks and why have that third quarterback be Jet?
Yeah, I think as you're going through it, you're just with, and quite honestly, we like, you know, this quarterback room. And you just want as many guys in the building that are going through the process, understanding the system and working it out. It's such an important position. As you're going through it, you want as many guys in the building that are always developing and always pushing. So no other reason other than just, you know, the talent of the group. And we really felt like this group was really pushing it. And so that was the reason behind it.
Liam?
Coach, Martavis Bryant and Bryson Tremaine were both part of the cut casualties today. What went into the decision to let them go, and how do you approach building that wide receiver room?
Yeah, Liam, it's you know, two different spaces, really. So Martavis getting here later, obviously, that certainly had a factor. I was, you know, proud of him for learning, you know, a good bit of the system to be ready to play, especially more extended play time versus New England. And with Bryson, man, he's really putting in the work and has a bigger role on special teams, obviously, to go. And so a number of these guys, Liam, you can imagine, are right on that cusp. And so that's what you're looking to do, is give them feedback about what it'll take to take the next steps. And it's a hard day for a coach or a general manager because, you know, real emotions for guys that are absolutely going for it, that love the game. And so, you know, we want to make sure we spend time with each player. So it takes a long time, but it's really important, and the players deserve it, to give them that feedback.
David Harrison.
Good afternoon, Coach. A couple of undrafted guys, Tyler Owens, Colton Yankoff, can you just kind of talk about what they've been able to show you this preseason training camp and the decision to keep them on the active roster?
Yep, I'd say both of them really, you know, have the propensity to absolutely go for it. You feel their intensity. You feel their speed when they play, both on special teams and on offense and defense, respectively. So at the end of it, you know, when you're really trying to establish an identity, David, that you've heard me use that word before, I think those examples come back up. You know, the speed, the physicality, the effort, the straining, those are things that are commander-style play, and I thought those two really represented that.
We'll finish up with Wino.
Hey, Dana, you mentioned that the roster being fluid over the next couple of days and weeks. Over the next 24 hours, the waiver wire, how much of this roster do you think is still fluid, and how active do you expect you guys to be?
I think as you're going through it, it's kind of part of where your needs are, Steve, and that there are ways that you can do things to address, you know, some needs for the team. So I think we'll have a better understanding of that tomorrow after we go through tonight, you know, as the wire comes back out today. Obviously, the scouting department, you know, is the key part of that, of assessing a player that may be on another team that gets released and a current player on our team. So it's pretty normal around the league this year at this time that a lot of these conversations and things happen. And quite often you look at some players that never end up making it on the waiver wire. So I think we'll have a better assessment for that as we head into tomorrow afternoon and the days ahead.
Honesty. Just love it because, you know, he's just giving you uncut funk. It is a moving target. We don't know, and it changes daily based upon, you know, the personnel that drops in your lap. And I've always felt like if my people are healthy, I've got to that's health to me is far more important than who I have. It's the people that I have, are they healthy? And so, we have one or two issues of concern when it comes to that, and that's pretty good compared to what it could be, you know, in a bang, bang, bang sport. I don't know. Usually somebody's got a hamstring or somebody has something. I haven't heard a lot of that, you know, in this camp. So You know, we'll see. What did you gain from that?
I mean, honestly, not a ton. You know, like, I understand some of the perspective that he gives, but he has kind of become really good at not giving us a ton, which honestly is fine. Like, I don't want my coach to be out here explaining absolutely every decision that he's ever made. Mm-hmm. So, like, I understand where he's coming from there, but there just wasn't a ton in terms of why decisions were made, why certain decisions were made over other decisions, over certain players, you know, so on and so forth. I wish we had a better explanation as to why, you know, KJ Henry didn't make the team. I thought he was deserving of it, but that's just kind of what it is now.
Yeah, well, again, I'm not looking for a TED talk. You know, we had a guy in there that was doing that. I like the fact that he says very little other than what he needs to do and move on. Go coach your team. That's what I need you doing, and not doing the TED talks. Because we found now that it doesn't matter what is said. If it's like parenting, you can call yourself a disciplinarian, but if your kid is the F up, what does that say? It means your message didn't stick. And so the last guy we had was a TED Talk guy, but the students didn't buy into the lesson. I'll take this one. I like this one much better. Yeah, I like this one. I like this one much better. Is there, and I guess, no, I'm not even, I was going to ask you a crazy question, like position of concern, if there was one. And that's still very hard to measure for you, not even knowing who's there yet and how that could change within a week. This roster may not be set in stone for another, what, 5-6 days? Maybe could be more.
Maybe could be more. I mean, the corners are still a position of concern as it sits here now. I can answer that one with picture-perfect clarity. That's still a position of concern that we're just hoping by the time we get to week one has been addressed in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. 301-230-0980. Is the number on the Team 980 listener line, Kevin Sheehan Show. It's, you know, always live and free on the Odyssey app. One of the great bargains in the past several years. You know, everything's about value. This is a steal deal, especially in the ability to hear what you want to hear, when you want to hear it, and how you want to hear it. Pretty well done. You mentioned, and I don't know, if you're a millionaire, I don't know how you even answer this, so I'll ask you, because you do work with one on a regular basis. If you voted the most overrated producer in the industry, what would you think about that? And okay, let's take a break on that one, and then come back, because I'm dying to get your reaction to that as we continue to go right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, DOC and Double D, right here back. Stay with us.